Hello everybody, welcome to the meditation class. If anybody is here for the first time, there's actually the beginner's class is actually next door. This is not the beginner's class of meditation. So if you're for the first time, it's happening next door here. That's where you want to go. Today I want to talk a little bit about metta meditation, loving kindness meditation. The reason is because it's often people find it quite difficult to do the breath meditation. Often people have quite a lot of have a hard time, and it's often like they can keep on banging the head against the brick wall for a long, long, long period of time and not actually get anywhere. So the question then arises, if that's actually what's happening and what's meditation, then what can you do about it? Why is it that one keeps hitting one's head against the brick wall, not actually getting anywhere in the meditation practice? And the reason, obviously, is, for those of you who have been meditating a long time, the reason why you're hitting your head against the brick wall is because there are still some hindrances there in your meditation practice. There's something there which hasn't been taken away, which actually blocks you from moving on, from actually getting peaceful, getting really calm, and getting all the benefits that you can get from watching the breath. So what we have to do then is we have to find skillful ways of removing those hindrances. And one of those beautiful ways of removing the hindrances is precisely to do metta meditation. Because metta has this wonderful quality of actually being able to remove almost all five hindrances in one go if you are able to do it successfully. It takes away basically all those problems out of the mind. And obviously, everybody knows that metta, loving kindness, is the antidote to ill will. It's very obvious that if you have loving kindness towards something, you cannot have ill will at the same time. So loving kindness takes away the ill will, negativity, and the critical aspects of the mind. That's very obvious. But metta meditation also takes away the sensual aspects of the mind, the sensual desires. And the reason for that is because the reason why the mind goes to sensuality, goes towards that part, that aspect of existence, is because one is looking for some happiness somewhere. So by doing metta, and metta is such a beautiful state of mind, that once you're able to give rise to some of those goodwill towards other people, it's actually a beautiful and very wonderful experience for oneself, that one doesn't need that sensuality anymore. The sensuality can actually be let go of, because the happiness comes from somewhere else, another part of the mind, which is much more powerful, much stronger, and therefore you can actually let go of the sensual part of the mind. So it becomes very powerful for this reason. And once you let go of sensuality and ill will, then the three remaining hindrances also tend to disappear, because they're very often a function of ill will and sensual desire. The Buddha said in there's a sutta known as the Benefits of Metta Sutta, which occurs in the Anguttara Nikaya, and he said that one of the benefits of practicing metta and having powerful metta is that samadhi, concentration, this thing we're trying to achieve when we watch the breath, it becomes easy because you have metta already established in your mind. This is actually one of the benefits. There's many other benefits of metta practice, such as sleeping well and waking up happy and being protected by devas, by gods even. But the most important one for this purpose right now is that samadhi becomes easy to achieve. So how then, I want to talk a little bit about how then to practice this metta meditation. Because very often the way that metta meditation is taught is that you focus on different kinds of beings to give rise to this experience of metta. Usually it is said that you focus, for example, first you're supposed to focus on somebody who you have find it easy to actually give rise to metta towards, somebody you like, somebody you respect, somebody who is a good person, or even an animal, or whatever turns on that quality inside of you of loving kindness is what you can use to give rise to this experience of metta according to the standard method of meditation, of this type of meditation. And then, once you are able to give rise to this sense of loving kindness inside, well, then you can start spreading that loving kindness out to, often it is said, second one is a neutral person, and then eventually even to a person who you are originally had negativity against. You can even spread that metta towards people who are your enemies, if you like, or who you did consider as enemies in the past at least. And eventually you allow that thing to spread out and encompass everything in the world, basically. That is a standard way. But it's interesting to note that this standard way of teaching metta was not actually taught by the Buddha. This standard way is actually found in another work in Buddhism called the Visuddhimagga. That's where you find this particular meditation. And the Visuddhimagga was not written by the Buddha, was spoken by the Buddha. It was spoken by a man, a monk, called Buddhaghosa, and not by the Buddha. So I always find it fascinating to see, well, what did the Buddha teach about metta practice? How did he teach this particular meditation? And you will find that there's actually a little bit difference here between the way that Buddhaghosa taught metta and the way that the Buddha taught metta. What the Buddha said was that the way you should teach metta, and this is a theme you will see again and again in the suttas, is that you start off with this pervading one direction with a mind of goodwill and a mind with metta. So instead here of focusing on any particular, on a being of any sort, you're actually just pervading a particular direction. You are looking in a particular area, so to speak. And then you go from direction to direction, up and down as well, all the intermediate directions, until you have covered all around you with this sense of metta and loving kindness. So this is the way it's done. And then after having then completed all the directions, then you expand it to include everything, basically everywhere, all the way around you. And of course, eventually you reach a point where that loving kindness is like unlimited because it goes everywhere. Now, you may ask, what is the difference here between these two types of metta meditation? And I think the important difference here is that the metta meditation, when you focus on actual beings, a particular being, whether it's somebody you like or you don't like, often it is difficult to focus metta on like a being which you already know about, somebody who already exists, because almost all beings, even if you like them a lot, even if you respect them a lot, you can always find some fault with somebody here. You can always find something there which you cannot maybe respect 100%. Very difficult to find somebody you can actually have unlimited metta towards straight away. And because of that, because it sometimes can be difficult to actually find this loving kindness towards any particular beings, I'm not talking about those people who have that difficulty. Of course, if you haven't got that difficulty, then there's no problem. Then please continue what you're doing already, because you're already doing the right thing here. But if you do find it difficult, then try instead of focusing on particular beings, just to focus on a direction. And when you focus on this direction, you can imagine, for example, if you sit here, you can focus on the western direction towards the ocean. And there will be thousands and thousands of people living in that sector towards the west. And then just wish all these beings, these anonymous people, these bodies with a face that you don't know, people who you have no idea about, just these anonymous people, wish them well and wish them happiness. Reflect, like you always do with this sort of meditation, that all these people out there, all the people in the western direction, all of them want to be happy. All of them want to have good lives. None of them want to have suffering in their lives. And yet, of course, despite this fact, all of these people are also experiencing times in their lives when things aren't going well for them, when they are experiencing suffering, when people pass away from them, which they are very close to them, when they go through difficult times with their work or whatever, and then wish them well, wish that things may go well for them. And then reflect on all those people out there who, despite the difficulties of life, despite the strivings of life, who do good, who are kind to others, who say nice things and say beautiful things. There's always going to be a fairly large proportion of those good-hearted and good people out there. And wish them well as well. May they continue with their practice. May everything go well for them. And while you do this, don't think of anybody in particular. Just be this mass of people out there, these thousands and thousands of people living in the western direction. Maybe choose one faceless individual if you have to, and wish them well, and see how their lives are, and maybe compare it to your own life, and know that they are seeking for this happiness, and yet not always succeeding. And then, as you do that, then spread, if you can, give rise to some kind of metta this way, and slowly but surely spread it out to the various sectors until eventually you encompass everything. Yeah. So I just wanted to briefly just mention this this particular way of doing a metta practice, because it is what the Buddha taught, and essentially the way he taught this practice in the suttas. And I think most people probably agree that if the Buddha taught it, it is very likely to be a very powerful practice. Okay, so that's really all I want to say. So maybe let's do some meditation together. there any questions or comments? Okay, let's do the homage to the triple jump.